All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Two Wheeled Rider Podcast presented by JT Motorsports. I am your host, Mario Orsini, joined by
Brian Boyer.
Brian, I think you're getting a little too comfortable in your own studio over there. I haven't seen you over at my house in well over a month now.
I mean, this is nice, though, because we can start pumping them out weekly, and it's pretty comfy over here, and then it's a little closer to my bed when I'm done.
Yeah, your bed, a.k.a. the couch. That's where I always get stuck when I come over there and stay.
My bad. Too many kids. I don't have a guest room.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So just a little bit of an update. So we're recording this. What is today? On a Wednesday. So it's going up about a week later. After almost 3.5 weeks, I finally got my intake cam back for my FE350 and slapped that thing back together last night. Also added the revalve forks on, courtesy of John Ross. Probably won't get to ride it for probably at least another week and a half, but making some progress. I actually have a dirt bike in the garage that's back in one piece again, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, the nice thing is, I know the shipping took forever and getting your bike back together, but the weather's been crap here and not much opportunity for riding, so it kind of works out. It would be way more miserable if it was, you know, we're getting those random like 60 or 50 degree day here in February. That would be torture.
Yeah, we haven't really had any of those, and shout out to Dean from R&D Racing out of California. I mean, it wasn't his fault that it took so long. That dude turned it around same day. It just took the Postal Service. Let's see. Yesterday was the 16th of February. He mailed that out 2-day priority on January 25th. So I was kidding around with somebody earlier today. I was like, apparently it was a one-legged man that carried that package all the way from California out to West Virginia. But
yeah, couldn't you travel cross-country on your 1290 faster? Could have gone out and got it.
I could have gone there and back probably half a dozen times at this point. But yeah, so anyway, got the bike back together and gonna go catch some warm weather and dirt bikes this weekend, and hopefully see another good round of Supercross. I know he's been on the podcast before, Luke Ross. I'm not gonna say he's traveling with me. He's actually not. We just happened to be on the same flight, staying at the same hotel. But he's going to be down there, and we're kind of stoked because we get to watch the 250 riders from, is this going to be the counting this as the West Coast or East Coast guys? I don't know. But anyway, they're all healthy because this is the first round of the other side of the 250 riders. So I don't know if they'll be healthy by the end of the weekend, but at least we'll get to watch them for a little while before guys start, you know, getting some injuries.
Well, it's pretty cool to say you were at the first West Coast race that was not on the West Coast.
Yeah, Orlando. I don't even think that's the West. I mean, it's basically like dead center of Florida. It's not even Western Florida, let alone, you know, Western United States. So in any event, I'm kind of excited about tonight's guest because, you know, I was just talking about getting my dirt bike back together. Now, we're not totally done with it. We do have some additional upgrades, modifications, stuff we're going to do. But soon I'm going to need a decal kit. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that tonight. And Brian, we know you need decals.
Oh, absolutely! But I saw the picture and I was like, that bike's just looking a little bare. It needs a little pop of color there. So I think the graphics will help that along.
Might even do some plastics too. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm going to change up the color scheme totally because I do like the high vis plastics of the Husqvarna. But I don't know. I don't know how you feel about putting decals, and maybe we'll talk about this later, about putting fresh decals over kind of roughed up plastics, because mine on the airbox cover and stuff from the boot grinding on it, because I actually have learned to grip my bike a little bit better and not just have my legs flailing around. It's getting a little scuffed up. Maybe some fresh plastics to put some fresh graphics on. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I enjoy just, if you're going to put them on, I just get the plastic kit and make sure that they go in there nice.
Do it right. It's going to look good for a few days before I scuff it all back up again. So anyway, listen, guys, we got some people we need to thank. All right, so if you're not sure what these levels mean, no big deal. We'll probably play a commercial break later on. If we don't play the commercial break, you can head on over to 2WRpodcast.com or you can head over to patreon.com/2WheelRider. You can read all about the different levels, what comes along with that. But huge thanks to each and every one of these folks we're about ready to name off. So at the contributor level, we have Luke Harding, we have Dylan, we have Alexander Marsh, we also have Bean and Leaf, and Bob Clayton. At the production crew level, we have Amanda Knapp from She Shall Ride, Morgan Graves, Travis Herman, Marshall 3498. Again, YouTube handle, not real name. Joe Stelmack, who Joe tried to call me earlier today. I was on another call, so got to call him back. Also have Daniel Shepard. At the executive producer level, we have Jordan Roberts, Jeff Minocchio, Joe Minocchio, Alan Bound, Paul Benton, Jeff Nolan, Brian Flickinger, Neil Pence. Dude, I'm going to have to start making you do these read-ins. This read-in keeps getting longer and longer. Not that I'm complaining. Also have Travis Miller and Cal Dahl. So thank you to all of you guys. Like I said, if you got any questions about what these different levels are, you know, you can head over to 2WRpodcast.com, click on membership, and find out all about it. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will we'll get into it with our guest tonight. So we'll be back in just a few moments. When Brian and I need something for our bikes, we head to JT Motorsports in Frederick, Maryland.
It's not just parts we buy, we also buy motorcycles. Recently, I picked up a 2020 KTM 1290 Super Adventure R.
Yeah, I wonder where you got that idea. But it is true, we don't just buy motorcycle parts, we also do buy motorcycles from JT's, and that's why I picked up a 2020 Husqvarna FE350. That's right, I bought something that's not a KTM, but it is made off the same assembly line.
JT's recently moved into a brand new, huge facility, conveniently located just minutes off of I-270 and I-70. Their massive showroom floor holds brand new models from Polaris, Can-Am, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Husqvarna, KTM, and now Specialized e-bikes. If you haven't tried an e-bike, you have to. Those things are so much fun to ride. And for the wee little riders, check out their line of Stasic kids bikes, which are the perfect way to get youngsters involved in riding. Their showroom floor also features a huge selection of riding gear, accessories, and other essentials to keep your machines running good and looking good. They carry some of the top brands in riding gear, including Arai and Climb. Need parts for your bike? They keep a ton of parts in stock and ship daily. Heck, you even have the option to call, email, or text your parts orders in. If you don't like working on your own bike, that's okay, because they have a full-service department that will work on any make or model. Just mention the Two Wheeled Rider podcast when you call, email, text, or stop in the shop, and you'll immediately get a 10% discount on parts and accessories. Visit jtmotorsports.net or call 301-846-4318. And if you didn't write that down, don't worry. You can find it in the podcast show notes or YouTube video description along with their address. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, so once again, huge shout out to JT Motorsports for helping support this podcast. Tonight's guest, Decal Works, is based out of Kingston, Illinois. They are your go-to company for dirt bike graphics, plastic, seat covers, rider ID products, and more. They've been in business since 1989. These guys know how to make your bike look factory, even if you're not a factory rider or can't ride like one. We're excited today to welcome Sean Murdoch to the podcast to learn more about Decal Works. So, Sean, welcome, my friend.
What's up, everyone? How you doing?
I'm pretty good doing tonight, good. Brian. You good?
Yeah. Yeah, doing good.
Awesome. Brian, one thing I didn't ask, because we've kind of skipped this the last few episodes. You drinking anything over in your studio tonight?
Got a little cranberry and vodka over here.
Yeah, you and I both went basic. I'm on almost a month without drinking anything, but since I'm going to be down in Florida this weekend, I figured I need to get my liver prepared again, so got a little Jack and Coke. We're just taking it easy tonight, so. Anyway, Sean, I know you're still at the office, so I won't ask you just in case the answer is yes. I don't want to get you in any trouble. So,
hey, we have a little bit of fun over here too. So right now I'm just drinking coffee, but there's been times I've had a little bit of bourbon here and stuff. So,
all right, that's good to hear. So, Sean, I don't know if you listen to many of the podcasts. We like to start them all out kind of the same and give you a little bit of an opportunity to tell us a little bit about your background. And I'm assuming, because I was on your Instagram account earlier today, you got a little bit of background in motorcycles, and that's what this podcast is all about. So tell us a little bit how you got involved in riding and what type of riding you like to do.
Yeah, for sure. So back in the day, I lived in Las Vegas. That's where I was born and raised as a youngster. And my dad got me into riding, and out there it's like a lot of desert racing and, you know, kind of like hare and hound type stuff. Motocross wasn't quite as big. So I grew up out in the desert, and you know, I think my first bike was a JR50, like a 1970. The seat would fall off and stuff. It was old school, but, you know, that's what got me riding. And then I got more into motocross when I moved up to Idaho. My dad and mom split, and so I went up north and did the motocross thing up there and stopped riding like desert races and stuff. So it's been a part of my life pretty much ever since I was born. And I would say, like most people, you know, it's like their parents, their dad usually gets them into it.
Yeah, I don't think Suzuki's updated any bikes since that JR50 you had. I think they all still have Kickstarters on them, same plastic, just bold new graphics every once in a while.
That's right.
Did you end up liking the desert racing more or kind of the motocross?
I personally enjoyed motocross more. It kind of fit my wheelhouse because I would also do like BMX-style jumps. And so I leaned more towards jumping and stuff like that. But now, as I kind of get older, I respect going out in the desert. You kind of have to use, it's just a different type of cross training. So I would say moto, though, for sure, like growing up.
Awesome. So, Sean, give us a little bit of the history and origin story, as you know it, with Decal Works, because they've been in business now for, what are we looking at, a little 30, over 30 years?
31 years. Yeah. So to put it in perspective, I started working for Decal Works in 2013. So about 7.5 years now I've been here. The company started in a garage, actually. And, you know, what they did was they started by making like t-shirts, screen printing t-shirts from a homemade press and stuff like that. And the owner of Decal Works had grown up racing motocross and stuff out in the Midwest area. And so he kind of like modified his press to make like stickers that you could put like your name and number on the back of like your chest protector and stuff. So it kind of transitioned into doing some stuff like that. And then skip to 1997. That's kind of the template of when the first pre-printed number plate backgrounds came out. And so that's like, you know, a pre-printed fitting decal to fit on your exact motorcycle side plate and front plate. And that kind of changed the ball game from there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because, I mean, you look back at, you know, the olden days of racing, you know, it was just kind of, it almost looked like electrical tape and how it's evolved and how custom the graphics are. And, I mean, it's great for marketing. So it's pretty cool to hear how it all started in the garage. And, you know, a lot of successful businesses have started that way, and it's really neat to see how they grow. So how do you become part of Decal Works and what drew you to that company and why do you enjoy working there?
Sure. Well, when I graduated from college in Boise, Idaho, I went to Boise State, and I was 23, and I just kind of wanted to try working in the motocross industry. I knew that's what I loved doing. I didn't really care about the money. I figured, do it while I'm young. So I tried to head back and live in like Southern California, and I stopped back in Vegas temporarily and made trips frequently to catch a company out there. Well, long story short, I made a YouTube video and Decal Works replied back. And after a few conversations, I pretty much came back here, visited, got an apartment real quick, and then just pretty much flew back to Vegas, loaded my truck up and started working just right out the gate, right into the deep end.
So I got to ask, what was the YouTube video about?
It was like this is my hidden secret sauce here, but I'll share it to the world now. But I just made like a 60-second short video, maybe not even like a minute long, of just why I wanted to be hired in the motocross, you know, like some motocross company should hire me and why they should and, you know, this and that and the other thing. And, you know, I just kind of just tried to separate myself out because it's a tough industry, you know, everyone wants to work in it. But, you know, sometimes a lot of times you have to know someone, this and that. But if you don't know anyone, in my case, I didn't, you know, I just had to think outside the box and like, how am I going to get in here, you know? So, and Decal Works replied.
So what about the YouTube thing? Obviously, you know, Mario's kind of brought me in and I've tried to kind of dabble in the YouTube thing. He has a successful YouTube channel. Do you still run the YouTube or where did that come? Did you just go, oh, I got this video, I'm going to throw it out there for that? Or is it something that you were already doing videos?
No, that was a one-time deal, just like a one-time resume deal. I do not run a YouTube. I wish I did, and I should probably learn. You know, I might be a little late on the train, but I would like to get better with YouTube stuff for sure.
Brian, I've messed up, dude. I've put out like 500 videos. All I had to do was put one out asking for a job and telling people why they should hire me, and then I wouldn't have had to make those other 499.
fit. See, there's the secret sauce he's talking about.
I mean, I'm listening to it, and that's actually a great idea. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, YouTube's the second biggest search engine out there. Obviously, it's owned by Google now, and I don't know what you titled it, but I'm guessing it was something like, why you should hire me in the motocross industry, and those keywords were probably pretty good, and that's probably how Decal Works ended up finding you. I think that's a pretty unique story.
Yeah, man, it's been a wild ride, but I'm thankful for every day. It is a dream job, so.
Awesome. So speaking of Decal Works, what's it kind of like to work there on a daily basis? What's kind of the day-to-day operations? What it is you see, what the other employees are doing, you know, those sorts of things. What's it like to work there?
It's so much fun because, you know, the day from the minute you step here to the minute you leave, and for most of us, the workday doesn't stop. I mean, we're a 24-hour motocross, you know, we're just a motorcycle enthusiast company, so a day-to-day is, you know, besides fighting all the crazy fires, because, you know, this business is an animal of its own. With everything is custom. Every single person's order is different. So you have to pay extra attention and be really good at your craft. But just the normal vibe and stuff, you know, everyone's joking around. Everyone's watching the races on weekends. People are going riding. Just staying up and staying up and up on everything and trying to be as knowledgeable as we can, because we're all riders and stuff like that. So we want to make sure that we're up so our customers know that we're all about it. And in simple words, just try to be a good quality service and knowledgeable company for people.
That's kind of cool that you mentioned that. And like, now it's got my wheels spinning. Like, you know, Mari and I are our day jobs are in the business, and I don't know about him, but there's very few that ride motorcycles, let alone share the same passion. So it has to be pretty unique when you get to go to work and everyone there has a common interest and passion around, one, what they're doing at their job, and then two, the hobby that happens after the hours when they're riding or watching races.
Absolutely. It's a very unique work environment, you know, as opposed to working for a giant corporation or and different other things like that. It's with everyone having a common ground, and it's a small business. I mean, we're big. There's like 25 people who work here, but in the nutshell, we're still small, and we still have like a family value. So, you know, everyone puts in 100% effort. Everyone knows that, you know, the harder you work, the better the company you're going to build for the future. And then being able to relate on all the dirt biking stuff just makes it the time goes by too quick.
That's a good problem to have. So talk about your role there at Decal Works. What exactly do you do day to day, and what does your job entail?
Sure. My position is sales and customer service. So, you know, for example, JT Motorsports, the sponsor of this podcast, you know, I reached out to them to see if they needed some decals to advertise on their dealership on their bikes and stuff. So that's what I do. I cold call. If people are calling in to order, I handle that, of course. I do a lot of phone orders, but also just general questions and social media, just anything front line. You know, we have three sales guys here. All of them are, you know, moto enthusiasts and stuff. So we handle everything on the front end. And then once the orders get placed, that's when it starts moving to the design team and they start working up proofs. And then, so for the most part, if you're speaking to anyone at Decal Works, it'll be, you know, myself or two other sales reps, for the most part. That's what we do, is handle direct relations with customers.
That's pretty cool. And one of the things we didn't mention or we haven't mentioned at this point is we actually got in contact with you through JT's, and I'm sure Brian, I think we got some questions on this later on. Like, Brian and I've dealt with other graphics companies, and, we'll just say we've had issues, and, you know, I think Brian stopped in and talked to Phil and was like, who the heck are you guys using? Like, we're thinking about calling this place because we're not having good luck with this place. And he's like, we've been working with Decal Works. Hit those guys up. They've been great to work with. So that's how we first got, you know, in contact with you to begin with. And, yeah, so we appreciate JT's with the assist on there. So
right.
For sure. So, Sean, next question. And we kind of touched on this just a little bit earlier on. You know, you guys are probably predominantly known as a graphics company, but when you go on your website, you've got all sorts of, I'm just going to say, dirt bike related items on there. Obviously, you've got graphics and you've got different levels of graphics. You can do number plates. You can do kind of like a pre-made kit. You can do semi-custom kits. You also have plastics on there of different colors and schemes. You've got rider ID kits. You've got a little bit of everything. So talk us through a little bit, you know, what the evolution was. And like I said, I know you did early on where, you know, it started out with like a rider ID kit on chest protectors and stuff, and eventually grew into, you know, custom graphics. But now you guys are selling plastics and everything else. So what was kind of the process along the way to start adding some of these additional products in that all kind of mesh together in a way?
Yeah. So it started with, like you said, the rider ID, the name and number on the back of the jersey and chest protector. Then the pre-printed number plates came out because, you know, what would happen is those, you know, those 6-inch numbers back in the day, well, they were too big for the little bikes, right? So, you know, what'd you have to do? Decal Works invented these pre-printed number plate backgrounds, which is ingenious of itself. Not to toot Decal Works' own horn, but it really is. And then fast forward to more people getting involved with custom graph. I think, you know, as the 2000s came along, you started seeing more dirt bikes with like flashier looking graphics. I know the old retro bikes had some of them high vis colors and stuff, but I mean like personal custom graphics. They would see, you know, like the classic Jeremy McGrath stuff would have this Chaparral Yamaha, you know. So people started wanting their company logos on their bikes and sponsors who helped them, and not just something right off the shelf. And Decal Works caught that demand that pretty much was self-created and then adjusted it so that it was consumer friendly, and then basically made a website so that you can customize your graphics all on your own and have it in real time. So I think you just kind of marketed towards being more personalized with the individual instead of making a mass product.
Yeah. So it sounds like you guys got a ton of different, products. And my next question is off the cuff and completely selfish. But there's a growth in riders starting earlier as well in the product line with Striders, and they have little number plates, and then the Stasic bikes. Do you guys offer anything there, or are there any plans to kind of adapt to some of these newer bikes that are coming along outside of the mainstream dirt bikes?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We're working on stuff for like Stasics and stuff like that. I don't know all the legal details, but as far as wanting to make graphics for them, and I could foresee that happening in the future for sure. And that's like you said, the different types of products we sell, besides full just dirt bike graphics, you could also just get your company, you know, if you own ABC Lawn Care, for example, and you wanted to print some stickers up, well, you could order some decals from us of your logo. You can get 10 of them, you can get 100 of them or 1,000 of them. And we do a lot of that too. So like custom, just random custom logo decals, and like, you know, which ones I think are underrated? The radiator louver decals, the ones that like go right by, you know, that protect your radiator, those fins. Like, I wish those ones are so cool. Like, and I don't think they're underrated. They don't get ordered enough. That's something that I wish in the future, because they're just like one of those hidden gems that once you have them on your bike, it's like, oh, that looks trick, you know.
I got to be honest, I didn't even know those existed, but I could see where that would be pretty damn cool. Cause depending on the bike you got, almost all of them come with like just black plastic louvers on them. I mean, it's not much to look at. So if you put something a little bit flashier on there, I could see where that'd look pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a separator. And I think that's what a lot of people are probably looking for too, is making their bike unique and calling out, you know, one, obviously your sponsors, but two, just, I want my bike to look different than what everyone else rolls out of the showroom.
Right. It's an attachment of your body, so to speak. You know, especially when it's like a motorcycle, that's very personal. So it's like buying new shoes or new clothes. You're outfitting your extended, you know, part of your body in a way. That's the way I think of it anyway.
So one of the things you mentioned, Sean, and this is something I've been playing around with the last probably better part of a week now, is on your website, something that is unique is that you can go on there, you can pick it doesn't matter, but you know, you can pick any of the graphics kits and you can go on in real time and see at least a general idea of what your bike's going to look like. Like, you can pick the different, you know, fonts for your number plates. You can pick the other thing that I think is really cool is you guys are licensed through, it seems like, pretty damn near every major motorcycle company. I mean, you can even go in and pick JT Motorsports and throw that up on a radiator shroud and see that kind of stuff in real time versus sitting down, you know, if you have Photoshop and dragging it all on there yourself. And I think that's pretty unique. What are some other things that separate Decal Works out from maybe some of your competitors?
To stay in that vein of the website, for sure, the ability to see your bike with multi-design options, multi-color options, being able to upload logos, and we're always continuing, spending countless day and night hours and thinking long-term of how to make the bike look better. Because, you know, sometimes you put a logo in on the website and it doesn't show up the way you want it to. And that's definitely something we know, but we try to make it better. So we're always going to make it so that, you know, so when you customize your bike online, like, we're going to try to make it look as real as we can and allow you to modify it the way you want it. And we want to get it as full custom as possible, but also make it so that it's profitable and it's not going to make a 4-week turnaround on something that doesn't need to be. You know, there are things you can do to make things streamlined, but also offer full custom options. And that's what we're definitely trying to do as far as the website. I think another thing that we're pretty well known for would be like the customer service and personnel and staff and stuff. I think people are really connected with us. And a lot of my customers, you know, pretty much are all my friends. You know, some of them I haven't ever met in person. Well, a lot of them I've never met in person. But I can talk to them on the phone and just, it's very personal. And I know that I can't say that other companies don't offer that, but I know that people do respect having that type of, you know, one-on-one communication and replies and things, you know, answering something on a Saturday night. You know, people take that and they love that. And you just think of it like a regular person. You know, if you're out and you're trying to do something, you want to be answered to properly and promptly. So that's what we strive for. And heck, I got to do a better job with it. You know, I try hard, but that's definitely something Decal Works, I would say, offers exceptional service and quality.
Yeah, you mentioned only a 4-week time frame, and it sounded like that was on the long end of things. And Mario and I obviously will get into that. Had some challenges, so that was exciting to hear.
Yeah, Sean's looking at 4 weeks is a really long time, and we're looking at it going, if we could only get them that fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll go ahead and dive into the next one. This has been huge lately, and it's only going to grow more, but the culture now is around social media, as far as from marketing to grabbing customers. What is your guys' stance, and how are you adapting to this new culture of so many customers, especially the younger riders on social media?
Personally, because I run half the social media Decal, and then I have my own personal, and I've actually made my own personal social media pages 100% Decal Workspace. I mean, I'm in a band and stuff like that, and I do a couple personal things, but for the most part, I would say that I personally have adapted to the game by putting myself out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at a time. And, you know what you're getting when you talk with me. I think that's important. That, you know, if you try to message a company, you don't really feel like you're messaging a person. I would say Decal Works on the other end really, really strives to show you that, you know, there is a person on the other line. Yes, we're a company. Yes, we have to do things to be profitable and we have to follow policies and legalities. But for the most part, you're just talking to a motocross or, you know, a moto guy on the other end who wants to offer, you know, sell you the product you want to buy and meet and give you what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So do you have people reach directly to you then after that relationship versus kind of going to the actual social media? Is that kind of go back to what you talked about of building that relationship with your customers?
Yeah, exactly. So in a perfect world, we would have somebody brand new happen to see Decal Works online or something, or Google, or on social media, and they reach out to us, and then we get talking with them, and, you know, next thing you know, I do an order with them. And then down the road, yeah, they just hit me up directly, whether it text me, call me, email me. And then, you know, it kind of leaves the room for, you know, the social media side of it. You can get more new people, and then you can develop a relationship personally. So definitely it's a means to breaking the ice and starting a relationship with a customer.
And is that a big target now as far as your marketing push? Is it, you know, in the past, I'm sure it was a little bit different, but now I'm guessing your push is very social media based to attract new customers?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Social media is huge. Everyone knows it's really big, but it's extremely important. There's a lot that goes on, and people following certain, you know, certain things, and you trying to capture that is all in the know. And it's not like rocket science, but for sure, I would say a lot of the world revolves around, you know, getting clients off of social media nowadays, as opposed to, you know, when it was really in its infancy.
No, I was going to jump in this one just because I spent a lot of time in my racing days trying to attract sponsors, trying to be different, and just raced at an amateur level. And, you know, I created a resume and really tried to drive the value I was going to bring to the company. But I'm sure a lot of people out there, you know, I saw the racer support on the website. How do people become part of a team to join that kind of rider support program?
Sure. So how old are you, Brian?
35.
Okay. Didn't mean to call you out like that.
He just had that birthday a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, nice. Yep. Happy birthday. The reason I ask, so I'm 31. When we were young, you know, it was pre-social media. It was pre, like, sponsor houses and stuff like that. So you would have to get a sponsorship by, you know, submitting a resume in, going to these races and being noticed. Times have changed now. The market's different. Life is different. So what we've done is we offer a lifetime rider support program. We do it with a one-time $59.95 fee. That way you get set up with a lifetime rider support. You don't have to mail in your resumes anymore. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, is my contract ending? The one-time thing. And then you get the 25% off of all the semi-custom graphics and things like that. So that's how we've done it now. So if you want to, like, the way it works is if you do like a semi-custom graphic and you're putting your own sponsor choices and stuff like that, and you pay for that rider support, you're making money back on that very first order. So it's a no-brainer for people who are out there tearing up some graphics for sure.
Now, I love that idea and I love the program. Is there any ability, and I think back to kind of having a job, right? You do your job better than everyone else. Is there the opportunity for, quote unquote, maybe a promotion or to a better deal if you're like, wow, these people have been part of our program for a while. We keep renewing, but they're driving value. One, is there a way to track that? And two, is that even something that you guys look into?
It is. It's rare, though, because it's more based on order volume at that point. I mean, if you have someone that's been with Decal Works for 15 years, chances are their account's already set up with some sort of support that might be a little bit higher, but we don't really offer like a progressive support program any longer. It's really rare to do that because it's based more off of like order volume and stuff. Now, personally, there are times where if you're handling an order and it's a case-by-case basis and the guy's adding another graphics kit or two to the order, maybe you can cut them some sort of quantity break that's a little bit less than what you would do online. And I work with people like that. We try to be fair, but for the most part, yeah, it's just like 25%. It keeps it center-lined. And it's actually, you know, 25% off of a $269 semi-custom kit is, I believe, like $68 or something, so $64. So it's a really big discount when you look at the actual dollar, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty unique from some of the companies I've talked to in the past. I mean, granted, their deals may be a few percentage points better, a few percentage points worse, but at the same time, usually the bar, you know, the entry bar is a little bit higher to get that versus the way you guys are doing it. You're right. You know, I was doing, before you even said my math was right, I was sitting there doing it in my head going, okay, so if you pay that fee up front, you just made money back on the first order. So it's kind of a no brainer because every order you do after that, you're really saving some bucks. So that's a pretty unique way to look at it. And you know, to Brian's question and Brian's point, your answer didn't really surprise me, and we weren't looking for specifics. I'm sure you guys have some long-term customers where you're going, yeah, we hooked those people up. They've been with us a long time. But no, that's still good to hear. So That's actually going to allow us to, not that anybody's looking at our outline of this aside from the three of us on this call, but that allows us to skip a couple of questions because that's a pretty straightforward program and I think an excellent opportunity for folks that are going to be racing or are going to need, you know, graphics for their bikes, whether it's racing or not. I mean, you just want your bike to look awesome. So speaking of your bike looking awesome, what are, you know, maybe outside of, I'm going to assume, and I could be wrong, that your custom graphics kits or at least number plates are probably your most popular product, but what are some of your other most popular products you guys sell?
Starting at number one would be your number plate background. Your number two would be our ready-made graphics. So for those not familiar, the ready-made graphics, they're still custom, but the logos are preset. So it comes with Dunlop on the rear fender. That's not changeable on a ready-made kit. That's a really popular kit. Some people, because the pricing's a little bit lower, they're faster. Some people don't really care about all the sponsors, don't want to get into it. So I would say your number plate graphics, your ready-made graphics, and then, you know, then your semi-custom graphics where you're putting in, you know, all of your custom companies who help you out or who you want to support and stuff like that. The next one that's really catching on to is seat covers. We do a lot of custom seat covers and we stock, our warehouse is huge. We stock all those plastics and seat covers, so we sell a lot of them. And then plastic, of course, we offer that mounting service, which I know you haven't asked about it yet, but people like to order graphics and have their decals installed on the plastic, and we offer that, and it seems to be a big hit. People know that nothing's perfect, and, you know, decals pop up here and there, and sometimes you got to just put the heater on and, you know, put your thumb back down and things like that. But the amount of time that people save by having their decals put on the plastic before receiving them is huge.
Yeah, and honestly, like I've been on your all's website and I've looked at the plastic prices. It's very affordable. And if you're going to spend the money on, you know, whether it's pre-made graphics kit or semi-custom graphics kit, you're not adding that much more to put brand new plastics on your bike. So, you know, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer to just go ahead and do that up front, especially if you guys are, you know, if I can get you guys to install them and I don't have to fool with it, because that takes some time.
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, people will get a new bike and then, you know, they can still buy some graphics and buy new plastic from us and then have us do the mounting and ship them. And then they'll take their OEM stuff, put it in a box, and then when they go to sell the bike, they'll put their OEM stuff back on. It's all, and that's pretty common too. Not everybody's in the same position to do so, but like even just number plates, you know, you can just get some number plates mounted and save you the pain. So there's quite a few avenues you can take, and there's a lot of information out there. It's really hard to digest, but we offer all sorts of services like that.
And you do see that a lot when you're looking for a used dirt bike on Facebook Marketplace. You'll see somebody that's got their custom graphics kit on, and in the description it'll say, also have the factory OEM graphics unused in a box. So, you know, you see it happen quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So touch on that a little bit, because I don't know anyone that truly loves putting on graphics. We love how they look, but the process is challenging. Is there like a package deal where if you get the graphics, the plastics, and then the install, or is that going, okay, if you buy the graphics, then you pay X amount to get it installed? How does that work on the ordering part? Because I imagine that's well worth it.
Yeah. So you get the option when you purchase decals and plastics from Decal Works, you do get the option just to have them mounted or unmounted. Mounting, there's a fee. So like number plate backgrounds will mount for $19.95, front and side plates. But if you're buying a full graphic kit and you want all of the decals installed, we do that for $79.95. And then if somebody happens to like break a back fender off and they need to reprint their rear fender decal and buy a new fender, we can put a rear fender decal on for you as well. Usually between $14 and $19.95 to do like the single pieces. So basically, if you need plastic and decals at the same time, I would say the majority of the people doing that are also getting their orders mounted before we ship them.
I love that idea. Is, not to give away any secrets, is there any machine work in applying these, or is it putting it on, obviously, with your tips and tricks and all these years of experience putting on the graphics?
Yeah, so the gentleman who does it, it's a human, and but he's uses our decal application kit, which is squeegee, our, you know, step one, two, and three fluid. A little bit of heat always helps, but you have to be very careful with heat because if you melt them, you can permanently damage that. But it always helps mount. I mean, I would definitely not recommend mounting graphics below. I believe we talk about like 70 degrees, 65 degrees might be pushing it. So, you know, you want to be in a room temperature. You want to have patience. You don't want to, you want to get your mind right where you're not going to get angry fast. And if you get angry, step away, come back later. So it is, it's a challenging job. Mounting's finicky. And that's one thing we like to really disclose to our customers because they know it's difficult, but we're also on our end, it's a human mounting them too. That's why I always say nothing's perfect and it's not a Picasso painting. It's going to get ripped up and stuff, but yeah, it's a challenging job for sure.
So Sean, that's a great piece of advice in that if you get mad, walk away. That goes not only for graphics, that goes for valve jobs or anything else you're doing on your bike. Just walk away for a while. You'll feel better when you come back and you won't mess up. But
no, I usually just walk away and then load my bike up and go over to Mario's. I don't know if
that's normally what happens for sure. He just brings it over here with whatever mess he's made. So I get to clean that up and then fix whatever the original problem was. So. Hey Sean, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we got a handful more questions to go over with you. So we'll be back in just a few moments. Hey guys, Mario here. If you'd like to help support the Two Wheeled Rider podcast, head on over to patreon.com/Two Wheeled Rider. On there, you'll find a few different options. For as low as $2 a month, you can be a contributor. And for as high as $10 a month, you can be an executive producer. We also have production crew in between. Be sure to check out what you get at each different level. But I think the coolest one is probably the executive producer level for $10 a month, where you will be granted early entry into any two-wheeled rider riding event. And if you followed those events in the past, you know they sell out in minutes. Actually, the last one in seconds. So it's pretty much the only way to guarantee that you're going to get a spot. Don't want to mess with Patreon? Head on over to 2WRpodcast.com and click on the membership tab. On there, you'll find all the same options we have on Patreon, plus a one-time contributor option should you not want to subscribe, or maybe you'd like to be the whiskey sponsor. I'll let you read up about that over there. In addition to all of those options, at different tiers, we'll be giving away different prize packs. When we hit $100, we gave away a $100 Rocky Mountain ATV gift card. When we hit $250, it'll be something else, and so on and so on. But if you don't want to support us monetarily, that's okay too. We just hope you enjoy listening to the podcast and maybe share it with a friend. All right, guys, and we are back. So, Sean, another question for you. And this, you know, I don't want to get too technical on things because I don't know what everyone's computer background is. I've got a few different, I'm going to call them Photoshop type programs. I've got, you know, more of a photo based program. I've got like an Illustrator type program. But I also edit videos and do all this sorts of thing. Is, you know, for folks that want their own custom logos put on the graphics, is there a type of file you prefer, you know, that folks send into you? Or is it just like, yeah, you can send us the JPEG. It creates a little bit more work for us because it's not a transparent background and it may take a little bit more time because we have to do some editing. I mean, do you have any tips or any information you can share, you know, from that standpoint?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely the preferred method would be vectored. That's V as in Victor, vectored artwork. Mm-hmm. And that's done in an email. So most people who are forwarding vectors, you know, it's not an image that they can see. It's a special file. And that, if you send a vector over, that makes it a lot easier for us because we still have to set up the logo regardless because our printing system is its own animal. So we have to set up everything no matter what. But versus going to Google and like just taking a screenshot on your phone of the image and then texting it to me, that's really hard to do and it's time consuming. And so that changes the price of a logo setup. So if you have a vectored logo, that's what we always strive for. And some people can get them, you know, some people have companies, they don't even know what a vector is. And we reply back, can you ask the company if they got it? Next thing you know, they're sending us clean artwork and they're saving themselves, you know, X amount of dollars by not having to have us reinvent the wheel again, you know?
Hey, Brian, just out of curiosity, do you know what a vector file is?
Yeah, only because of Mario. But I think it's a good point because let's face it, probably the average person doesn't. So one, talk about, you know, you can save money, and how do most people send it? And then what coaching would you give people to help the process along? One, it sounds like it would save them money, and two, it saves time in the long run.
Definitely. Now, my background is not graphic design, so I have not enough, you know, I can't speak too knowledgeable on that. But in a nutshell, the vector file, so to speak, is the same type of file that you would send to a t-shirt company and things like that. And it's just something that can be altered so that this logo can be changed around and resized and stuff like that and print clearly.
So it doesn't allow it to pixelate like a normal JPEG would or PNG file or something like that. You can make that vector file whatever size you want to make it without losing any of the the crispness of it, I guess is the best word I can come up with off the top of my head.
That's exactly right. Yep.
So going back to kind of just the custom graphics, and how do people approach you if they kind of have an idea in their head and maybe they want to kind of bring their artistic side and have something that's different than on your website and come up with something very unique? Obviously, they have their vector files of their designs or their logos, but how do they create custom work? How would they go about that process when they want something kind of truly custom?
So nowadays, because we have so many designs available, because back in the day, it was all full custom. But now that we have all these different designs and stuff, what we do is I'll see what they're after, whether they take a screenshot or they send me something of what they're thinking or what they want. And then I will do the work and go in and find graphics and designs that we offer and send them some basic graphic design to choose from. They'll say, you know what, I like that one. And then I'll take that design and I'll build it up with their name and number and change the colors around to more of the theme they're going with. And they'll still get, and they'll actually end up ordering a Decal Works base design that is basically full custom, but it's just an altered template. Instead of doing something from scratch, it kind of goes back to not starting and reinventing the whole wheel and paying the labor time to reinvent a whole new graphics kit just for that one person. You can take a design that we have that's close, modify the colors, put the logos where they want, you know, do some cool stuff to it and still get away without having to do this custom artwork setup, you know, late, because it's expensive to do that. You know, it's expensive for someone to spend the time on just one, you know, one product, so to speak, where I can find ways to save people money by showing them custom graphics that we offer in the same vein of what they're looking for.
And to be fair, I've been on there and messed around, and you guys have a bunch of different semi-custom schemes already available. When you add in all the different modifications you can make to the different colors, there has to be several thousand different variations available for every bike before you even get into logo placement, company logos, those sorts of things. So while, you know, we've messed around in the past with quote unquote full custom, you can't really tell any difference by the time you go in and start modifying your colors and the different schemes that are already available. So at the end of the day, you are going to end up with what looks like a full custom design.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the time you modify your colors and do your, you know, I mean, I try to kind of control the certain aspect of how to get the job done. And, you know, sometimes people will be a little bit more picky, like, hey, can you add a pinstripe here and a pinstripe there or this and that? And I tell them, I say, well, that's when you're dipping into this, you know, you're going to go into this full custom thing. It's not that we can't do it, but it goes into a different realm of pricing and stuff like that. So most people are like, you know what, that little pinstripe that I thought was really important on the back fender, we can do without that. You know what I mean? We can put a logo there. You know what I'm saying? Like you can kind of, it comes down to sometimes just like, do you really want to pay for something like that? And it's like, nah, by the end of the day, I'm good with this right here. This is sweet.
I like the honesty though, right? You're letting them know, hey, yeah, we can do it, but here's what I suggest. And that way you're really truly caring about the customer in the sense of the price and what they're getting after. So that kind of helps lead into the next question. You know, Mario and I mentioned kind of earlier, we have had some challenges with graphic companies and not throwing them under the bus. You know, we've had quality products. We've just had more challenges specifically around response time and product delivery time and a little bit of kind of what it seems like your passion is around that customer service. So what kind of customer service do you provide? And then what does turnaround time look like if we go on and we order the graphics, and when do we expect to get them?
Okay, two-part question there. So the later part, the turnaround time does revolve around what you're ordering from us. Right now, number plate graphics, actually pretty much all year round, number plate graphics and like ready-made graphics, the ones where you're not setting up logos, custom logos and stuff, just the ones that are pretty much change your colors, put on like a Shroud logo you want and then go. Those are out the door within 2 to 3, you know, maybe in our max busy, you know, 4 days. The semi-custom ones where you're setting up these logos and doing things like that, those get backed up because those take a while to make, you know. Like right now we've got, I think, like 500 semi-custom kits backed up. And that's why our lead time on customs, like, you know, 2 weeks out right now. So that would be the answer to that. But in, like, we joke also, we have two seasons. We have ultra busy season, and then we just have our busy season. And so anywhere from like Christmas up until about June or July, it's just wide open. And then, you know, your September and October, you might have a little bit of a break because some of these seasons are winding down, and our semi-custom kits might be able to ship out with, you know, within just a matter of a few days at that point. But that's our general lead time for stuff like that. And then your first question was, what kind of customer service do I offer? Does DecalWorks offer? That's where that, like, trying to be readily responsive at all hours, you know, or as close as we can be as all at all hours, whether it's the answer they want to hear or not. You know, sometimes it's just a random, like, hey, do you make graphics for a Suzuki street bike? You know, and we're like, well, or, a Super Duke 990. Like, no, we don't. But at least trying to get back to them as quick as possible, I feel like that's really important as far as level of customer service. And then just being knowledgeable of what's out there, because the bikes are always changing, and they change the plastics up on bikes every couple of years, so we got to be up and up on that. And, you know, no one's reaching out and telling you that. You have to be wise on your own. So it's just a challenge. It's a lot of fun, I guess. It's just trying to be the best for the person looking at ordering.
So you talked about the lead time. Do you have insight to that when someone orders it and you go, okay, I know we're backed up this much. Here we go. You know, you want this order. Here's the time that you can expect it, and here's the lead time. That way, at least you're setting expectations for the customer.
Oh, yes. Yes. So on the phone, for sure, people will always ask when, you know, as you're placing an order and as you're talking, you know, when am I going to see this, you know, and you tell them. The online stuff, though, what gets people is we have this in huge, you know, as big as text as we possibly can, but when you go to check out, if you place orders online, you get to choose what your get it by date is. And, you know, the society we live in with like Amazon and stuff, everything comes 2 day, everything's free shipping and all that. And that's kind of a crazy world because most small businesses can't do that. But, you know, Amazon's made it a very, just a general knowledge that you should just get free shipping and it's going to be there in 2 days. But in the small business real world, everyone knows that that's not the case. So we give you options to check out, and it tells you what day you're going to get them. But like, if you're putting a set of number plate graphics, and you go to check out, your get it by date's going to be, you know, maybe February 25th right now. But if you put a semi-custom graphic kit in and you choose the economy shipping, you know, you could see something as far as like March 15th or 18th right now, depending on what you choose. So we give you every option we can, and the lead times are adjusted as order volume fluctuates.
And Amazon's not putting my name on anything but the shipping label, so that customers got to understand there's a little bit of customization there going on.
That's true. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, sometimes you're answering the question of the customer. It may not be the answer they want to hear. I mean, I got to be honest with you, you know, in some of our past dealings, if they just would have told me straight up, hey, it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before you get this. Okay, well, at least I have an expectation versus you've taken my order, you've taken my money, and we did all this and, you know, over the course of 2-3 days, and then I don't hear anything for 6 weeks. Like, just set some sort of expectation for me. I mean, I get it. You can only print so many things up at a time. You've got back orders. That's all fine. But just being able to give me some sort of idea of when I'm going to receive it, I'm good with that, just to know that it's being worked and it's in queue and it'll get done when it gets done. So appreciate the openness there.
For sure. That is a common occurrence here with when you talk with people calling in and stuff like that, and you know they've had issues with XYZ and the lead time is really bad. They haven't, you know, it's going to be a never ending issue. Anything custom, you know, you can only bake a pizza so fast, but at the end of the day, definitely it sounds like, you know, an over promise and an under delivery problem in some sectors of the industry.
Absolutely. So we'll jump into the next question, and you can kind of touch on some other areas too, but I did notice on the website, you can kind of submit a photo and potentially win some money. I thought it was cool seeing all the different bikes I was scrolling through. More, it was kind of like an art show, seeing all the different graphics and ideas that people were able to design. Talk a little bit about that promotion or any other promotions that you guys push.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. It's like an art show. It's a trophy case. It's showing off all the coolest graphics that you can use and influence to make your bike your own and unique. So the Decal 500 is what it's called. That's a monthly contest where you can win the $500 DecalWorks gift card by submitting a photo of your bike with the DecalWorks graphics or number plate on your DecalMX account. And basically, to do so, you just log into your account at decalmx.com, upload photos of your bike with the DecalWorks graphics, and when your photo's approved, it's going to be uploaded to the DecalWorks bike gallery, which is what you were mentioning. And then the top 40 photos submitted from that month will be entered into that 40-man drawing. So we take 40 of the top photos, we put it in a Tumblr, and then we go on Facebook Live, and we announce the winner. And it's really cool, and people love it. So that's what the Decal 500 is. It's showing off your awesome bike and also allowing us a chance to give you $500 to do even more cool stuff with it and show it off, you know, even more to the world.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I got a question for you, Sean, and we don't have this on our list of questions, but you mentioned, you know, you guys can just print up stickers too for, you know, and it can be any sort of company. It doesn't necessarily have to be a motorcycle related company. Are there different size options, or at least, you know, different parameters you have to play in when it comes up to getting, you know, stacks of stickers? I mean, listen, spoiler alert for you guys listening to the podcast, we're going to end up moving over to DecalWorks here very soon. We'll have two-wheeled rider stickers. We'll have two-wheeled rider podcast stickers. Like, that's who I'm going through. So I'm kind of asking this question for myself. But, you know, are there different parameters we have to stay within, or it's pretty much anything that's going to fit on? I mean, I'm not going to do anything bigger than like the size of a sheet of, you know, normal copy or paper or whatever. But I guess my question is, you know, how does that work on the website? Because that is one thing I haven't messed around with at this point.
So think of it like a manufacturing line, and think of your favorite sports team. Let's just say for this example, mine's the 49ers, the 49er football team, right? Well, their logo's at FF, and it's an oval. That oval, we could print as big or as small as you want. If you only want it to be a couple, like 2 inches by 3 inches or whatever the dimensions may be, we could print you off and I can quote you whatever quantity you want and whatever size you want. And so our smallest printing size is usually a couple inches, you know, maybe an inch and a half. But I try not to go much lower than like an inch and a half or an inch, though, because the knives and stuff, it gets into production issues at that point. But, and then large format stuff, you know, some guys will want like a big old, you know, it's called the novelty plate, like a mini plate that you put on the back of your truck window.
Yep.
I'm sure people who are listening are familiar with that. They're miniature front number plate stickers that you see on the back windows of people's vehicles when you're out at the racetrack. Well, there's also these oversized ones that we sell that are like 20 inches tall by 2 feet wide, and they go on the back of like big toy haulers and stuff. So we can print pretty large format. I think our max is a little, basically 2 feet tall by whatever length you need. And if you want something big done, we can do something like that. But for the most part, a lot of guys just get like four, you know, 3 to 5, 6 inch decals ordered in random quantities. And a lot of dealerships, that's what JT Motorsports did for their dealership there. So if you have like for the podcast, you could have little 3 or 4 inch stickers printed up. You can get a couple hundred of them. And, you know, so if you're like just trying to get a quote on something, I would price you at 50, I'd price you at 250, 500, let you make the call of what you want to spend. And then you have some motocross grade vinyl decals, but of your company logo.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing the larger quantity we order at a time, the cheaper per sticker it becomes.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 1,000 decals, it will cost less than 100, you know, per decal, so to speak. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So jumping into the next question, you guys talked about kind of offering the graphics in-house, which sounds amazing. I highly recommend that to people that haven't applied graphics before. But for those that do want to apply their graphics, are there any, you know, home tricks or kind of best practices? I know you mentioned your kit and maybe talk about the benefits of that.
Absolutely. I'm going to mention the DecalWorks application system hands down. It comes in three little spray bottles, and they're labeled step one, step two, and step three. They are specifically formulated for adhesive and low surface area plastic. So this product is based specifically for doing this particular job. So I would suggest if you're going to do the mounting yourself at home and you're ordering from DecalWorks, buy a decal application kit. It's like $24.95. One kit will do up to three or four bikes. And it's a lifesaver. It makes life a lot easier because one of the fluids, step three, you can actually move the decal around on the plastic before it sticks. So you don't have to sit there and peel it all back up and stuff like that. So people like the decal app kit. I use it. So that would be my tip and trick. And then obviously the internet. There's no one way to skin a cat when you're mounting decals. So some people can say I start here. There's no perfect way. You can just go on the internet and educate yourself and just. I always tell my customers, like, just be patient and, you know, kind of like what I said earlier, just be patient and take your time with it.
Yeah, I've probably broken more than $24 worth of stuff in the past, so it sounds like that kit's well worth it.
I would think so. So, Sean, we kind of touched on this earlier, but, you know, obviously DecalWorks is always evolving, offering new products. Is there an opportunity you guys as a company see, you know, and maybe this is, you know, Strider or Stasic, maybe it's something totally different that you guys see as a growth potential within the industry and, you know, what you guys may need to do to adapt in the future to, you know, continue to grow the company?
Yeah. One of our newest products was our DecalWorks graphics guard. And they are these clear pieces of plastic that clip on to the lower side number plate on your motorcycle where your boots always peel up those graphics. You put new graphics on and your boots can peel those graphics up the first 5 minutes you're out riding. It's been a problem ever since the pre-printed number plate backgrounds have been born. And I would say that falls in line with that because we're trying to create a product. Well, we have created a product and it's going really well. We even have new modifications for newer ones coming out. And it saves people's graphics from getting all scratched up. And, you know, it's a bummer to put your graphics on and then you just go out and ride. And then, you know, one lap later, your boots tore them up. And it's just nature of the business. But that's what we're trying to accommodate. You know, we're trying to increase the shelf life of some graphics as well. So I would say that's one thing that I think is a market changer / you know, how to see the future of being a graphic company and stuff like that. Like that was a big move. And that's something that patent was going on and fulfilled and all of that legal stuff that I'm that's above my pay grade, but that was done before I even started DecalWorks. That's how long ago that's been thought of.
Wow. And you know,
which is crazy.
You know what? One thing we didn't mention that I don't think it's talked about very much is, you know, yeah, graphics can get scratched up and, you know, scun up and those sorts of things. But I don't think people realize how much those graphics actually protect the plastics. Because if it weren't for the graphics taking the beating, your plastics would be the things that are scratched up. And, you know, if you've got a good quality graphics kit on your bike, when you go to peel those, still, I would probably still get new plastics anyway. But, you know, when you peel those things off, your plastics actually look pretty good underneath, even though those graphics may have taken a season's worth of beatings out on the trail or on the track.
Yeah, definitely. Not every single time, you know, and like you know, everybody's in a different situation and stuff, but yeah, not every time can you just buy plastic and graphics and have them mounted to you. You know, some people are, you know, everybody's different. So if you have to peel off, let's say you get assigned a new number or something like that, and you need to peel off your number plate graphics, have fun doing that too. That our glue is so sticky, you'll get arm pumps trying to peel them off. But for sure, that's when that application kit comes in. You use those fluids. You know, that step one fluid is the adhesive remover. It'll clean up all that crud and, you know, if there's excess glue in there and just dirt that's built up. But like you said, the plastic's still good. Well, you can put your new graphic on that plastic. And, you know, as long as the plastic's been properly cleaned and you mount it properly, as long as it's not scratched and stuff, you can put new graphics on used plastic as long as it's, you know, within reason, right? I have to be clear, within reason, but...
Great. So we'll jump into the next one. Everyone loves a good, funny story, and not sure if you have one, but do you happen to have like maybe a funny customer story or maybe just a story in the office from your current role?
Yeah. So, you know, we were thinking about this one today, and this is more of just a reoccurring theme, and it falls right in line with plastics and mounting. So for the 2013 to 16 CRF 450s or 14 to 17 Honda CRF 250s, that generation of bike. The side number plates on them bikes out the showroom are a two-piece side plate airbox combo, and putting the graphics on those bikes, on those side number plates is like mounting a graphic to a football with how curved those pipes are, or, you know, how curved those plastics are to go around the pipe. So Decal Works launched restyled one-piece side number plate. Again, this is before I started. They were already in the molding process and stuff. And we started offering free mounting to those particular pieces of plastic. If you have that bike, hey, you buy this plastic, we'll take them. We'll do all the work for you. Trust me, you don't want to mount them. I'm going to tell you, 75% of the time, 90% of the time, people buy them, and life goes on good. And I'm always the one that calls them and asks them too, ironically. But every time that someone says no, there's a really good chance as soon as they get their order, you're going to be getting a phone call from them that they screwed them up and that they just want to order the plastic again. And it's almost like, I told you, you know, if you would have just listened, I'll save you. But that's kind of just a reoccurring thing. I shouldn't say that's just one story, but it happens more often than not. Like, I'm looking out for you, I promise, you know. That's kind of funny. We joke about it, even, you know, and we always help people out and give them a deal on it if they have to do that. But it happens all the time, like with that, you know, like, we're telling you, we recommend this. Now I got it. Next thing you know, they're calling it. Yeah, you're right. You know, funny.
Well, I think that goes back to building that relationship with a company too, because I can tell just from our conversation that you're all about providing the best customer service, not really about upselling, but just selling what the customer needs. So it's like, if you had that relationship, they're like, I'm just trying to help you. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, charge you more. It's just like, trust me, I'm going to save you time and money if you just listen to me.
Yeah. We've always been saying, you know, we say we're not trying to sell you, you know, insurance on your, you know, or whatever it may be. We're not trying to use, you know, used car salesman, you know, for lack of a better term. I sold dirt bikes. So it's nothing against that industry. I'm just saying, we're not trying to sell you something that you don't need for our benefit. It's actually benefiting the customer, and it's more beneficial to us because if the customer's happy, then we're not going to have to get a negative phone call or review or something that we have to tackle. We can focus more on another issue. So yeah, it's a win-win when, on 90% of the stuff that we sell, I mean, actually 100% of the stuff that we sell, we recommend. And yeah, 90% of the time, if it gets declined, there's a chance that they're going to be like, yeah, dang it. You know what I mean? Like, I should have listened to you. I thought I could get it, but you know, it's all good.
So that struggle in the Honda had me have like one more question. How does that work when the new models come out? Like how does your company, you know, the designs change, right? The shrouds change. Exactly. Where does that come from, and how do you get that information?
Elbow grease. Every once in a while, you know, and like you guys had mentioned in the earlier, Decal Works is officially licensed with, I think there's eight now, you know, Cowie, Honda, KTM, Husqvarna, GasGas, Suzuki, Yamaha. So we're licensed with all these companies. Every once in a while, these companies will, you know, as relationships go on, they'll help you out and tell you if something's going on. But for the most part, we build the template, which is, that's way over my pay grade. That's so insane how they do that. But we have to be up and up and figure, you know, try to get the plastics and build them as quick as we can and as perfectly as we can. And always making adjustments and stuff like that. That's a game changer, making templates. That's something that I have no idea. That's way over my pay grade.
I can only imagine, but no, that's some great insight.
Yeah, and what I want people to realize by talking about they're officially licensed, you go to, and this is nothing against, you know, any other graphics companies, but most of them don't have those licensing agreements. So if you want that, you know, in my case, you know, the Husqvarna logo, or in Brian's case, the KTM logo, most of those companies aren't going to put that on there for you because they're not legally allowed to. They haven't paid that licensing agreement, that licensing fee, in order to do that. So, you know, I'm not saying necessarily Decal Works is going to print you up, you know, a factory graphics kit, but if you want that factory logo on there, that is still an option because they do pay that licensing fee, so that is available to you, which, you know, might be a bonus to some folks. Also, if you're out there chasing contingency money and those sorts of things, you need the factory name on the side of the bike, that's something to consider.
Yeah, it's a really big deal, legality-wise, you know, running the logos properly. Printing illegal logos is, I mean, that's as bad as, you know, bootlegging, you know, anything. You know, you're illegally printing a logo. That's a huge no-no, and the companies they look at that and they find out, and it's a big deal, especially as when you only have a few companies who are doing the royalties and who have these relationships and really have to do all the hard work to maintain that prestige. Yeah, you're seeing less and less. I guarantee you're seeing less and less of illegally printed logos because some companies are the game is getting tighter. You know.
So speaking of logos, before we hop into the last question, this is going to happen anyway because Brian and I both need graphics kits. I'm just out of curiosity, and the answer could be no. That's fine. If we end up doing, you know, the Two Wheeled Rider logo and getting that done up, or the Two Wheeled Rider podcast logo, is that going to be a drop down option on the website if people want to add that onto their bikes?
Hell yeah!
All right.
Of course it's going to be on the website. Are you kidding me? Actually, yeah, of course. We're going to, anybody who brings up the podcast better get a hold of me so I can hook them up with a deal too. Yeah, of course.
Here we go, guys. Brian, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, you heard it here first.
That's right.
All right, Sean, so we'll get into the last thing. We really appreciate your time tonight. And listen, whatever you name off here, we're going to put down in the show notes. It'll also be, clickable links on a 2WR podcast. What is the best way to contact you? And that's pretty much it. I mean, how would you recommend folks reach out to you? I mean, obviously we've got the website. We'll link that. We'll link the different social medias. If they just enjoyed listening to you tonight and they're like, hey, we want to DM that guy on Instagram first before I take it through the website, you cool with that?
Absolutely. So I would say right off the bat, the Instagram, Sean Murdoch 254, email Sean at decalmx.com. That's spelled like Sean Connery. Sean at decalmx.com. That's for initial ice breaking. If I just heard you, or I want to get some graphics, message me on Instagram, email Sean at decalmx.com, or straight up just message Decal Works, because chances are I'm going to be looking at that too. So that is the first icebreaker. And then, of course, when we finalize the orders and stuff, I always do it like on the phone, just how we're doing right now. We'd be talking, but we'd be placing an order. So that's how it'll all work out. But definitely just a quick message on social media, Facebook, Instagram, whether it be Decal Works, the company, or my personal, I'll be there to take care of you.
All right, cool. Sean, anything we didn't go over tonight where you're like, man, I wish I had the opportunity to say that, but those guys didn't ask me. Anything we missed?
You guys did great. You've launched the Decal 500. I wanted to bring that up and just the basic overall of what Decal Works is about and what we provide to people. Hopefully everyone kind of gets a general consensus of basically get a hold of us and we'll take care of you. So yeah, we're good.
All right, cool. Brian, anything else you want to ask?
No, I hope the listeners got what I got out of it. I could just tell Sean's passion. I can tell Decal Works and Sean care about just the best for the sport. They have a passion around the sport. So I hope our listeners check them out and give their business to people that are really into what we all love, and it's two wheels.
Yeah, for sure. So, Sean, Brian and I, we'll catch back up with you here in just a second or so. We'll do a quick outro, and then we'll come back and wrap up with you off air. But really appreciate the time tonight and all the information you shared.
Yeah, this is awesome.
All right, cool. All right, Brian. No, I'm with you. Like, I love the fact when we can, you know, work with motorcycle companies, motorcycle dealership, whatever it is, where the folks that work there are riders themselves. Because to me, that if you're a rider and you're working with a company that's just made up of, not to, I hate to say just employees, but non-rider employees, you can pretty much tell immediately.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've all been in that job where your coworker's not as passionate. It sounds like everyone in this company has the same vision and the same motivation and the same passion, and that's truly something special.
No, and I love playing around with their website. That is one of the most user-friendly things, and be able to see what your bike's going to look like. Because I don't know if people have ever been on, like, TireRack.com, where you can pick your car, you can pick your color, you can pick your wheels, you can pick your tires, see exactly what it's going to look like. That's the way their website is with the semi-custom graphics kits. And that just makes it really fun because there's not much guesswork.
Yeah, that, and there's so much stuff on there. I was showing my wife early. I was like a kid in the candy store. I was like, you got to check this out. Oh, look, they also have this. So definitely head over to their website. Check out all the great stuff they have. It's pretty awesome.
And listen, I'm not going to say it's going to be up by the time this airs, but the fact that we might have Two-Wheel Rider and Two-Wheel Rider Podcast as drop-downs for sponsorship companies, that's pretty badass.
That's pretty cool.
We might. I mean, listen, I'm not – don't hold me to this right now. I don't know, Brian. We talked about when we got up to different sponsorship levels, what we could do for folks. We're closing in quickly on that $250 a month, whatever you want to call it, Patreon or PayPal supporters. Maybe a custom two-wheeled rider graphics kit for the dirt bike.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what we're going to continue to do. We get companies, and we didn't have Decal Works on for, you know, just random. We truly only want to have companies on that we believe in, that have the same passion as us. And we want to build a relationship with them, not for personal benefit, but really to give back our listeners and our supporters.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that JT's told us, no, this is who we're working with, I mean, that's a company that's been backing us for, you know, better part of a year now. If that's who they're working with, they're happy with the product, we're going to be happy with the product. That's who we're going to start having doing the podcast stickers through my YouTube channel. They're going to be doing the sticker request, you know, the printing up the stickers. I get sticker requests there. So, looking forward to building that relationship up further. Do appreciate Sean's time tonight. And it's just cool to, you know, talk to somebody that, I mean, he's got a day job in the motorcycle industry, which, you know, I think a lot of motorcyclists would love to have. So to be able to go work, you know, go to work every day and enjoy your job and be around two wheels. And listen, he's got, I don't want to discount his job, but if he's running social media for them, I'd be like a kid in a candy store with all those cool graphics that are coming off the printer every single day. Like, you've got so much stuff that you can share at that point. And the fact that people are sending him pictures of how cool their bikes look after the fact, putting those graphic kits on. I wish I had that much stuff to put on my Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, how cool is that, getting a picture from a satisfied customer and seeing how happy you were able to make them through the cool custom design?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we'll wrap up tonight. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I had a good time, and Brian had a good time as well. Hope Sean did too. So anyway, if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform and you haven't left us a rating yet, please feel free to do so. Hopefully we can keep that 5-star going on Apple Podcasts. And we'd love to have a review on there too. And, you know, occasionally I share them on the on my Instagram. Once again, anything Decal Works related is going to be down in the show notes. We'll have clickable links down there for you so you can contact them directly. Brian's and my contact information is always down there. You can DM us, you can PM us, you can email us, or you can click on the Facebook group. We do have a 2WR podcast Facebook forum. Go on there and ask your questions, and we will do our best to get them answered for you. So once again, hope you guys enjoyed tonight's podcast. My name is Mario Orsini, joined by
Brian Boyer,
and we will talk to you guys again soon.